Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
What up, world? Welcome on all to another episode of The Ocho, presented to you in partnership, as always, with SB Nation's bloggingtheboys.com. My name, RJ Ochoa. You know me, of course, from BTB, and from right here as your humble host on The Ocho. It is Tuesday, October 15th, 2019. Week 7 is not quite upon us. I mean, the week kind of like officially begins on Wednesday. We're fresh off of the final game of Week 6, a Monday Night Football contest between the Green Bay Packers and Detroit Lions, a game in which the Lions were robbed by most people's account. The Packers benefiting, as many people will say they typically do. I'm not one that buys into the whole notion that referees favor one team over the other, but you know, there is data to support everything, I suppose. But it seemed like the Green Bay Packers did benefit from a lot of flags and penalties on Monday night at Lambeau Field. The officials have been a problem this season, I think. You know, that point goes without saying. Everybody is of the belief that officiating is really, really, really bad right now across the league. But hey, you know, no big deal. It's not like first place in the NFC North is on the line. Poor Lions. So now the Lions fall all the way to last place. Rough life for Detroit. The 3-1-3 needs our help. But it is Tuesday, and that doesn't change the fact that the Dallas Cowboys lost to the New York Jets on Sunday. It's still a very bitter pill to swallow. In the day after, there was really no sort of saving grace to this. I mean, you know, Monday was just a day where everybody just lived in this. I filled in on ESPN San Antonio's The Blitz. I joined Jason Minix and Rob Thompson. We had Jason Garrett on, and I mean, you hear Jason Garrett on 105.3 or ESPN San Antonio, or, you know, in his daily press conferences. And again, we do recap those for you at bloggingtheboys.com. You'll get those tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday. But I mean, you know, got to execute better, you know, got to be more disciplined, things like that. We got to call it what it is. This is going to be a frustrating week for a lot of people. I mean, this is a rough time to be a Dallas Cowboys fan. I mean, when you lose to the New York Jets, it has a lot of people, you know, feeling low about the team. And that's the reality, right? I mean, they are a team that they're in first place in the NFC East. Let's be clear about that. It is amazing, by the way, that the Cowboys lost and that they're in first place in the NFC East. They were in second place a week ago. And of course, they're tied with the Eagles. You know my point. I mean, they have the same record. But when it comes down to tiebreakers, I mean, they were tied and subsequently second place a week ago. And even though they lost, they catapulted to first place. And that's because they lost to an AFC team. I asked Jason Garrett when we had him on 12 at ESPN San Antonio, I said, you know, because the Cowboys obviously played that game really safe from an injury standpoint. I mean, think about all the players that were hurt, and I'm not saying this was by design by any means, but I mean, they had injuries to Tyron Smith, Lyle Collins, Randall Cobb. We saw Amari Cooper leave the game very early. We saw them get banged up a lot, obviously, throughout the game. I asked him if, you know, and I know we mentioned this in our postgame episode here, but if there's any consideration to, hey, you know, Tyron Lyle, they're kind of close, you know, I'd rather them be back for the Eagles game than be back for the Jets game. Because the reality of football and of the NFL is that a division win means more, right? I mean, if you're the Cowboys in this instance, there's no question that a win or a loss is more meaningful when it comes against the Philadelphia Eagles as opposed to the New York Jets. The most meaningless losses that the Dallas Cowboys can incur in a given season are losses to AFC teams. If you have to lose four games, you want them to be to the entire AFC division that you play. That's just the way the rules work. You want to have a perfect record in your division. You obviously want to beat all the other NFC teams so that you maintain wild card advantages and first round bye advantages and things like that. So if I told you a week ago that you had to pick one of the upcoming two games to lose, the Jets or the Eagles, there's no question that we would have all chosen the Jets because that's the one that means the least. But Jason Garrett, of course, said, you know, there's none of that going on. The Cowboys are, you know, trying to win every game and this and that. I don't buy that completely, but, you know, he's not going to come out and say that. Nobody would come out and say that. That's just the way it is. But before we completely put the Jets behind us, I think we need to visit a couple of things. And the first comes from New York Jets quarterback Sam Darnold. This is the first win of the season for Sam Darnold, as mentioned. In his second game, obviously had the mono and whatnot. And Sam Darnold, after the game against the Dallas Cowboys, was asked about what he saw. And Sam Darnold, former Southern California guy, feeling a little confident, and Sam Darnold dropped an answer that, as a Cowboys fan, you're probably not going to appreciate. This is from NewYorkJets.com.
Did you get the sense that the Cowboys were loading the box, particularly to kind of shut down Bell and not necessarily respecting the fact that you were back there to throw the ball?
I mean, they just kind of did what they do. They do it every single week. They just play one high, occasionally two high, and, you know, they like to stop the run, and I knew that I had to throw the ball today to have success, and we did that.
They did what they do, is what Sam Darnold had to say about the Dallas Cowboys. Woo! By the way, I don't know what was up with the crackling in that audio. If you watch, you go back and watch all the post-game press conferences from different Jets, Le'Veon Bell had one and Jamal Adams had one. There was that crackling and all of that. I don't know if it was a malfunction with the audio equipment that the Jets use. But either way, Sam Darnold, again, you know, he's right. I mean, he had to throw the ball to be able to beat the Cowboys, and he did. To be fair, to Sam Darnold's point, it was the most yards he's ever had in a victory for the Jets. I mean, it was the second most passing yards he's ever had in a given NFL game. Granted, he's very early into his career. But so Sam Darnold threw the ball minimally, but very well against the Dallas Cowboys, which obviously just kind of describes the level of defense that they're playing. Before we put Darnold completely away in terms of subjects, I do want to play something that I don't watch Get Up personally. I'm more of a Good Morning Football person, but something that was said on ESPN's Get Up by Mike Greenberg, obviously famously from Mike and Mike. And obviously, Mike Greenberg, a very proud New York Jets fan, and oh my goodness, dropped the take of the century. If Sam Darnold's feeling himself, Mike Greenberg is on a whole nother level. This is from Monday morning's Get Up.
Let me make the next point that I think should be made here. We have had some conversation on this show about whether or not Dak Prescott is one of the five best quarterbacks in the NFL. Yesterday, he was definitively the second best quarterback on that field. Sam Darnold is a better quarterback than Dak Prescott when healthy, which yesterday was the first time that he was. If you watch that game yesterday, you tell me if you're starting a team, which quarterback is it you want?
Again, New York Jets quarterbacks, seemingly, and their supporters feeling themselves, you know, in the aftermath of the Jets picking up their first win of the season. And look, that's what happens. I mean, people get confident, and it is what it is. But that take is, and let me be clear, I'm a big fan of Sam Darnold. I really liked him coming out of USC. I think he's a cool dude. I think he has the right Southern, you know, sort of Southern California vibe. I think he's the right sort of personality for the New York Jets is kind of my point. I think he understands and knows how to, you know, survive the circus that was. The mono thing could have been a disaster for him individually. And he came out in his first game back. I mean, you know, kicked the Cowboys' ass. And so, I mean, you know, you can take that however you want. But the point is, Sam Darnold's very talented. Is he someone that you can unequivocally say is better than Dak Prescott right now? No, of course not, because that's ridiculous. We have no idea who Sam Darnold's going to be, and to this point, Dak Prescott is a far more accomplished quarterback than Sam Darnold. I don't even know that you can say, you know, the whole segment, Greenberg says that Sam Darnold was unequivocally the best quarterback on that field. I don't even know that I believe Sam Darnold had a better game than Dak Prescott. Sam Darnold had the 92-yard touchdown pass that was incredible to Robbie Anderson, although Robbie did a lot of that work. Dak Prescott battled through. Think again, you know, Sam Darnold is the one that threw the interception. So a very weird take, but that's, you know, that's where we are. I mean, you know, when the Cowboys lose three games in a row, things are going to be rough for them, and you know, life is going to be very difficult. Speaking of rough life, though, I thought there was a really interesting report in the MMQB on Monday. Albert Breer wrote about the Cowboys' struggles and, you know, struggling at cornerback and whatnot. We know the secondary has been bad, which is part of the reason why Chris Richard has come under fire recently. But he wrote this. This is again from Albert Breer's MMQB on Monday morning. An internal talking point has been the inconsistency in players following and trusting their assignments and teammates. that has led to slow starts and some of the big plays given up the last few weeks. I want to read that again. An internal talking point has been the inconsistency in players following and trusting their assignments and teammates. That does not sound great. When you lose three games in a row, you start to hear murmurs, and because people are pissed off. People are mad that they're losing three in a row, and they're losing however many in a row. And so people get frustrated. And so if there's a lack of trust or a lack of following game plans, that's a huge issue, whether it's happening on offense or defense or whatever. That, I think, bears watching. I wrote about that, by the way. So depending on if you're an early riser and you get to this podcast early, you'll have to wait a bit. Should be at blogontheboys.com. I don't know, about like 9:30 Central Time. But either way, I want to talk about Jason Garrett, and I want to talk about Doug Peterson and what he said. But before we do that, we have to take a very quick break, obviously, to hear a word from our sponsors. But Jason Garrett and his much-discussed job status, we get into that next, right after this break.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. Financial operations are needlessly complex. Startups have to cobble together a patchwork of tools to reconcile transactions from different sources and struggle to glean answers from platforms that speak different languages. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so you can pay bills faster, stay in control of company spending, and speed up reconciliation. Apply in minutes at mercury.com and join over 100,000 ambitious startups that trust Mercury. Not just for banking and credit cards, but for the precision, control, and focus they need to transform their financial workflows and perform at their best. Mercury, the art of simplified finances. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank & Trust. Members FDIC.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
So everybody has a thought on whether Jason Garrett should be fired, when that should happen, and really that's about it when it comes to his status as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. You know, there are not a lot of people, I think, who are championing his causes these days. And look, I mean, the reality is he's people love to throw out the term hot seat. Oh, so-and-so's on the hot, Dan Quinn's on the hot seat in Atlanta. And that's probably true. But Jason Garrett's seat has been hot for a while. I mean, this dude is really accustomed to this. First of all, the hot seat is always hot when you're the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Unless you are undefeated and winning Super Bowls, the seat is hot for the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. So let's be clear on that. Beyond that, Jason Garrett happens to be in a contract year. I mean, if you forgot that, Jason Garrett has literally been coaching for his career every day since this season began. Since the moment that Jerry Jones announced at the end of last season, after the Cowboys were eliminated in the divisional round of the playoffs, that they were not going to extend Jason Garrett and they were going to wait and see what happened. Since then, the seat has been scorching, okay? Every day, Jason Garrett is coaching for his life. And that's why I know that you're going to roll your eyes at this and you're going to have a problem with this, but I don't think there's any benefit to firing him in the middle of the season. I don't. And, you know, if they were to, lose 50-0 to the Eagles and just completely quit and wither and whatever, that obviously changes the context of this discussion. But, I mean, I'm going to say something that you're probably going to disagree with. So prepare yourself, all right? If you're driving, you know, I don't want you to hard turn or anything. I'm not saying that the Dallas Cowboys are a Super Bowl contender, because I know right now you're going to go, dude, they just lost to the Jets. But the reality is the Dallas Cowboys have a better chance of winning Super Bowl 54 with Jason Garrett as their head coach than they do if they fired him in the middle of the season and replaced him with an interim head coach. That is objectively true. And I think that when you calm down, you will agree with that. Because let's play out this hypothetical, right? Cowboys fire Jason Garrett on insert date here, that date being sometime before the end of the regular season. Who is your interim head coach? I mean, is it Chris Richard, right? I mean, you know, certainly had some leadership positions in his coaching career. Is it Rod Marinelli, who's been a head coach before? It's certainly not Kellen Moore. I mean, you know, they're not winning the Super Bowl like that. I mean, and again, maybe you don't think that they're winning the Super Bowl in general, but my point isn't that this team is winning the Super Bowl. My point is that the chance of success for the 2019 Dallas Cowboys is higher with Jason Garrett as the head coach than it is smashing the glass and pressing the panic button in the middle of the season. We're talking about just the short-term goals of 2019 here. Whatever happens beyond that, obviously you can, you know, discuss the merits of moving on from Jason Garrett and bringing in whoever else, Lincoln Riley, whatever you want to talk about. That discussion can be had a different day. But, I mean, that's true. I mean, that honestly is the truth. And I think another sort of core truth that's easy to forget when the Cowboys are losing, and especially when they lose to a team like the New York Jets, is Jerry Jones and the Cowboys brain trust, they decided, all right, that they were not going to extend Jason Garrett, that they were going to enter and play out this contract year, right? That's been decided for a long time. That bed has been made, so to speak. So you kind of have to ride it out. I mean, you do. Again, nobody's going to win the Super Bowl with a fired coach and interim head coach. That's just not going to happen with any NFL team. So the purpose of this season, there are a lot of purposes, right? The number one goal is always to win the Super Bowl. But the purpose of this season, to a large degree, is to evaluate whether Jason Garrett is the right guy. And so you might as well play out the whole season, because I'm not saying that this would suggest, oh, you sign him to a 18-year extension, but what if Jason Garrett beats the Eagles on Sunday? What if Jason Garrett comes out of the bye and then beats the Giants and then beats the Vikings and beats the Lions and goes and beats the Patriots in New England? I mean, you never know. And I know you're saying that's impossible, whatever. Let me remind you, this is a coach. I mean, honestly, this is a head coach whose team was 3-5 last season that he rallied. I mean, that is true. And so I don't think there's any real benefit to firing Jason Garrett in the middle of the season for those reasons. But it certainly doesn't mean that people aren't going to be talking about it. In fact, on 105.3 The Fan, where Jason Garrett does appear every Monday morning following a Cowboys game, he was asked point blank if he was worried about his job. This is from the Sean and RJ show on 105.3 The Fan on Monday morning.
How concerned are you about your job status?
I don't really think about that. I just want to make sure I do everything I can every day to do my job as well as I can do it.
Well, that was awkward. I mean, big props to Sean Sharif for asking Jason Garrett the tough question. I mean, that's the one on everybody's mind, right? Like, that's what everybody was thinking on Monday morning. And it takes a lot of conviction to be able to ask that question live on the radio. So big props to Sean Sharif. And again, that audio courtesy of 105.3 The Fan, those guys are great. And Jerry Jones will be on Tuesday. If you, if you're up early enough at this point to be able to catch that live, we'll obviously discuss the highlights of that on Wednesday's episode of The Ocho. But so I don't think that Jason Garrett's in any real jeopardy from the perspective of, he was already in jeopardy. You know, I don't think the heat is higher. I don't think it's hotter. I think he is in the same situation he was even following the 3 wins in a row. I mean, he is in a contract year. Until he has a new contract, if that day ever comes, he is in a pretty hot seat because he doesn't have a contract beyond the 2019 season with the Dallas Cowboys. Jason Garrett, obviously, again, was on ESPN San Antonio with us on Monday afternoon, and got to execute. And, you know, we were talking about it in the pre-show prep. Man, can you imagine what it would be like if Jason Garrett came on and guaranteed a win over the Philadelphia Eagles? I mean, can you imagine what that would be like, et cetera? Because, you know, he would never do that. I mean, that's not Jason Garrett's style. He's not your coach that's going to come out and make this bold declaration or whatever, because that's just not his style. And that's not even a bad thing. That's not an indictment on Jason Garrett. It's just simply not who he is. It is, though, who Eagles head coach Doug Peterson is. Doug Peterson, like a lot of coaches, has a show on the local radio after after Eagles games. And he was feeling pretty gutsy. Oh, yeah. Doug Peterson on Sports Radio 94 WIP had this to say when it came to Sunday's big game against the Dallas Cowboys.
I know the sky's falling outside.
Yes.
You know, it's falling, and I get that. And the fans are reeling just a little bit. But, you know, we're going down to Dallas, and our guys are going to be ready to play. And we're going to win that football game. And when we do, we're in first place in the NFC East. We control our own destiny. We're right where we need to be. Has it been perfect or beautiful or all of that? No. But all we got to do is try to be 1-0 this week, beat the Dallas Cowboys. We're in first place. And listen, they're reeling too. I mean, they're struggling too. They've dropped their last three games. So this will be an exciting football game.
Now, Doug Peterson did not, you know, say what you may have thought he said. Maybe you read the headline somewhere and you got pissed off. It wasn't, "We're going to beat the Dallas Cowboys." I mean, it was, I think what he said was really fair, honestly. I mean, there are different types of coaches and there are different coaching styles, and it seems like Doug Peterson has reached a point with his Philadelphia Eagles team that he feels the need to put him on the table, so to speak. I mean, Doug Peterson's trying a bit more of a bravado-based approach for this week's game against the Dallas Cowboys, and that's really just him saying, yeah, I mean, our plan is to go beat the Dallas Cowboys. I'm sure if you asked Jason Garrett behind closed doors, he would say the Cowboys' plan is to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. Everybody's planning on winning their Week 7 game, except for the Miami Dolphins. I mean, that's just the way the NFL works. And so I don't mind what he said at all. It certainly makes for interesting talk as the week goes on. And I will say this, it is a bit ironic that this was said on Monday, October 14th of all particular days. Now, a timeline, if you will, from a trash talking perspective. Last year, when the Philadelphia Eagles visited the Dallas Cowboys, you'll remember that linebacker Kamu Grugier-Hill trash talked the Cowboys, said all they do is choke and that the Eagles were going to go down, the Cowboys were going to choke again. And then that got really awkward because after Cowboys fans got really mad about it, Kamu made kind of a big play on the game's opening kickoff. So it was a little unsettling, but the Cowboys won that game and Kamu had to take the heat because that's the way it rolls. It seems like Eagles players did not learn a lesson from that because Eagles linebacker Zach Brown, before the Eagles played the Minnesota Vikings last week, you'll remember that Zach used to play for the Washington Redskins. So did Kirk Cousins, Minnesota Vikings quarterback. And Zach said that Kirk Cousins was the weakest part of the Vikings offense. And I saw Katie Drummond, friend of the show, BTB alum, who runs the Cowboys Wire. And by the way, shout out to Katie's Washington Nationals. Goodness gracious. But Katie pointed this out. I mean, you know, what Zach said was kind of fair. I mean, Kirk is the weakest part of the Vikings offense, but you can't say that. And if you say that and you win, it, you know, nobody really remembers it. But if you say that and you lose, dude, people are going to remember that. And so Zach Brown said this, the Eagles go to Minnesota where they won the Super Bowl, actually. Yeah, I don't know why I had to bring that up for you. I know it's painful. My bad. But they go to Minnesota and just get destroyed by Kirk Cousins. And so, of course, everybody's saying, Zach, hey, dude, what's going on? You're the one. You talked this trash about Kirk Cousins. He just kind of stomped y'all. What happened there? And Zach was a real sore loser about this. And he said, do you have any questions about the game? Dude, if you say something dumb and then it blows up in your face, you have to wear that. You have to own up to it. That's the way, not even football, that's just the way life works. And then later on Monday, kind of afternoon, evening, the Eagles released him. That was the like ultimate life comes at you fast moment. And so I do find it interesting that on the day that that happened, that that was the particular day that Doug Peterson decided to put them on the proverbial table. But I digress. That about does it, though, for Tuesday's episode of The Ocho. I hope you had a great time. Flash photography is permitted, by the way, when you are on this ride. Make sure you subscribe to the Blogging the Boys podcast feed. You can find us wherever you get podcasts, Apple devices, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or Google Play. You can ask Alexa. We're on Spotify. There's no excuse not to subscribe. And when you do subscribe, because I know you're going to because you're a great person, please please, please, please give us a rating, write us a review. Those things really help. We do a lot of great work here. Everybody does so much hard work when it comes to producing all the podcasts, all of our different shows. And so that really helps us out. We'll have some great guests lined up this week, by the way. Michael Kist from Bleeding Green Nation, producer extraordinaire, will join us. And we'll have some great chats about this Sunday's game. Make sure you also subscribe to the Blogging the Boys YouTube channel. We have a brand new Play of the Game video up breaking down Zeke Elliott's big block that helped Dak Prescott score against the New York Jets. I know they lost, but still, it's a great film review. And I've got a video coming out there sometime on maybe Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, kind of chronicling where Jason Garrett is as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys and the situation that he currently finds himself in. Other than that, make sure you follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at RJ Ochoa on both. You can shoot me an email, rj.ochoa@sbnation.com. We'll get into some more of your questions tomorrow, so if you have them, get them over my way. And make sure you also follow us on the Blogging the Boys Twitter account, at Blogging the Boys, blogging.the.boys on the gram. Of course, make sure, more than anything, that you have the absolute best Tuesday of your life. You know why? Because you deserve it. We will see you mañana, my friends. As always, go Cowboys, and peace out.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.